Hey, Energy Matters listeners, me and Cody are coming to you during a cold winter day to talk about the deep, dark topic of healing, healing trauma, healing pain. And we're going to go into the way we see how healing works using energy tools, intuitive development, all our experience with our students and clients over the years, and try to give you some insight. Maybe that will help you heal some of your own stuff and or be compassionate to the people around you who are in pain and maybe help them heal. I feel like this is the topic almost all the time anyway, right, Cody? If we're talking about anxiety or resistance or other forms of pain, we're always in some way kind of coming at it through healing. And, you know, you've been teaching the healing arts for years. I remember I actually took a class with you, a hands-on healing course in Hawaii that you taught. That was super fun.
Years ago.
Yeah, many years ago. Yeah, and you know, during the time of COVID and there's so much stress, I had actually had a friend message me yesterday, I'm losing it in these difficult times. You know, the world is crazy. That's what she said. Something like, the world's gone crazy. It's mad. And I was like, yeah, I don't know if you remember the dark ages, you know, the plague, World War II, World War I. I don't know if you remember, you know, all them dark times that we've had in this planet.
I don't personally remember those, but I kind of know what you're speaking
of. Yes, you do.
I've kind of been there and past life visions and that kind of thing, right?
There's actually, there you go. There's a great quote I read recently. It was one of Carl Jung's students asked him, is the apocalypse inevitable? And he said, not if enough people do their inner work. Mm. And I love that.
Yeah, I like that.
So maybe we could dive into how we see healing and how we teach it, how we do it ourselves, and maybe on ourselves, and some stories from our students that could be helpful for everyone listening to heal themselves and live in a world full of pain.
Right. Yeah. Navigate a world that has a lot of pain. I think that's part of the human condition, is to learn how to manage suffering and pain and trauma and heal ourselves and become whole. But when you mentioned that friend that just said they're losing it, that just made me think of our last intuitive training at the end when we did the graduation and everybody was sharing part of their experience. So many people were talking about how it helped them get through the craziness in 2020 in the world. And that was so powerful to me to hear the level of healing that was happening and change and growth for each of the individuals doing the intuitive work and the intuitive training. And that's always, healing's always been a part of the foundation and the idea behind doing the work. It's kind of funny because there is this growth forward and this wholeness that happens of discovering more of yourself and change that happens. But it, in the background, it's always about healing oneself along the way, not just performing better or getting somewhere forward, but really coming together in the moment, integrating more deeply, awakening more deeply, and then the healing that happens. And there's so many different healing techniques that we have that we share along the way, all having to do with ways to recognize energy that's stuck and shift it, change it. So it's kind of a moving into a certain perspective or mindset where you see certain things and it's not that, well, I guess that's that way. It's, oh, well, what's the step forward or the step to wholeness relative to this trauma or pain or in some sense, just stuckness that can happen within us. So it's exciting to see.
Maybe to take it out of the meta and go into some details. I think what's fascinating to a lot of people is like how, as healers or teachers, how do we actually like recognize pain in a student or a client that we're working with? Mm-hmm. You know, what does that look like to us from our perspective, and how do we help them move past it? Because I've had this experience so many times with students and clients, and I'm sure you have as well, is you uncover some pain with them and maybe they've been, maybe it's been uncovered in an intellectual way for a while. Maybe they've been talking about it to their therapist, you know, for a decade or a couple decades, and they've just kind of been spinning around it, or they're always trying to figure it out or solve it. Like it's a puzzle or a math equation. You know, if I could just figure out all the pieces here, it'll click. And it's like, if I think a little bit more, if I just think about this a little bit more, then I'll get it. And they're really just spinning around it. So I've seen that happen a lot. But what I notice, like when I sit with a student or client, maybe and do some energy work with them, you know, I might see pain as like, if I'm like eyes closed, let's say we're meditating on it and someone's talking, you might see pain as like little red dots or like one big boulder. Sometimes I'll see it like a dent in their energy field, like, you know, when you the side of your car gets hit and it needs to be like popped back out, or like a whack on top of their head, or maybe like memories that are like frozen that need to be thawed out or kind of buried in their unconscious. I don't think there's a right way. I remember I was working with a woman and it was almost like there was like a noose or hands around her neck, like squeezing her. And I remember describing that. Yeah, I was describing that. And she said, oh, that actually physically happened with an ex of mine. I had to call the police. They actually attacked me in this space. So sometimes it's very real and visceral that way, like a clear, direct picture. And other times it's like a cloud, you know, some gray, a storm.
Yeah.
How do you see
it? I often see it. It's kind of like looking at energy as seeing things moving. And then oftentimes when there's pain, it's frozen. So it's kind of actually not moving there. Or if you start to look in that direction, like if I'm looking at someone's energy field and I start to touch that part of their energy with just the with awareness, and there's a reaction, that's oftentimes a kind of indicator that there's pain there. Much like if physically, you know, if we were sitting together and your shoulder hurt and I started to move my hand towards your shoulder, you might flinch a little bit. I've noticed that happen on an energy level. If there's certain places you start to recognize in a person and they energetically flinch a little bit, that's a strong indicator that there's pain there. They're trying to protect it. And, you know, how to kind of gently work to a place to address that pain and help them release it and make it a healing is what we do, is what we teach people to do. But finding the pain or recognizing or stuckness or whatever it might be, trauma, or even just negative ideas about oneself that might be held there. And oftentimes in looking in someone's energy, I'll see places that are kind of dark so that you really just can't see into them. And that'll tell me there's some kind of a pain or a withdrawal of the energy from that place. Talking about a trauma or a pain for, you know, oftentimes years in therapy, there's a lot that happens in that, but there's something different that happens when you're making a spirit to spirit or a energetic connection with someone and you're kind of resonating right there with them and you illuminate that pain. There's something where they see it maybe in a different way in themselves, or someone might see how it is they're carrying it, but also how it is that doesn't have to be so, that they could let go of it. And it's almost like this bigger thing happens in that moment and a release can happen or a shift will happen just by addressing it from that perspective, which we don't commonly get into if we're talking about it or trying to figure it out or trying to rehash the story. It's almost like when we see it from an energetic level, we step outside the story or see ourselves beyond the story enough that a shift can happen and a huge release often happens. That's where I see the healing happen, actually, is when you really see yourself outside of the story in some ways, bigger than the story. Mm-hmm. So you're no longer kind of a victim to it in a way, in that it happened only to you, right? You kind of have this other perspective. And then the healing tends to happen and you in a sense, reset your energy or come into a new place within yourself in a way, you often incorporate that past experience, but de-energize it so you can move past it and create forward from there.
Do you have any kind of memorable examples of when you kind of did some of this work with a student, recognize some of this energy, and then watch them shift out of it? And or maybe one where they didn't shift out of it.
Yeah, well, and it's often that we shift out of it in little stages. So just because we see it, we may just be helping someone take the next step in their healing process. So it's not that it is miraculously healed all at once, oftentimes. And that's okay, because we're all, you know, progressing and growing at our own pace and integrating and expanding. So I don't have the sense that it has to all be healed at once to be a valid healing. Helping someone take a step forward is always positive. Mm-hmm. But there are many, many times where something becomes brought forward in a way that the person sees themselves a little bit differently and gets an answer in a way, or understands something in a way that they hadn't before. And that's where oftentimes this really huge shift will happen. And I have had that happen. You know, oftentimes it involves another person and someone else's energy that's been affecting someone, and they don't know like why there's this other person's maybe angry at them, or why there's some kind of a friction that was there. And from an energetic perspective, you might see what was going on there and communicate that. And then suddenly it shifts. So I had this pretty powerful healing. I was working with a lady, a few months, it wasn't that long ago, actually, maybe a year ago. And she was kind of estranged from her sister. And yet that was her only family that was left. And she really wanted to be able to connect with her sister and be seen. And so in looking at her energy and situation, it really became clear that much of what was between them actually was their mother and about their mother. And she, as I was kind of talking to that, she did relate that yes, her mother always put them in a state of competition with each other, comparing the two. And one was always better and one was always worse. And as we addressed that energy, and the woman I was working with kind of saw her resistance and resentment in it, and because she was always the one that was kind of more perfect, she had to kind of let go of being that. And we cleared the energy. And within a few days, her sister called and then invited her to her house. And now they have spent the holidays together.
I love that.
So, yeah, it's just like, it was amazing. It's like, wow, that was pretty cool.
You probably, people listening are going, well, how, you know, they're like, how did you clear the energy?
Well,
tell us the magic part.
That's what we teach.
Yeah. So if it was like a mini crash course from that scenario, or another one, like, is it something you say? If I didn't know anything and I was trying to ask you, like, is it something you do with your magical hands? Is it like, what is it that like, what's the mechanic that helps people shift the energy? Like, I'm feeling stuck. I'm circling around this picture, this memory.
Yeah. Well, and in this particular case, it was, there was a couple of layers to it. So one was seeing in this person's energy field, this other energy that she was carrying and kind of trying to live up to, which was actually her image of her mother. And so she had to recognize that and like address that almost mentally in herself, and let go of this need to kind of prove something to that energy and image. Once she did that, then she could let go of the other energies and pictures, which if we want to talk a little inside baseball, it was in her third chakra. So she would get caught up in this kind of hypervigilant power, like trying to be better than and her best, or for fear of being invalidated.
So like competition.
So once she could let go of that in herself and that feeling of like, I've got to kind of always be a little revved up and do better than everybody else. The problem was she was running that in her relationship with her sister. So her sister would react to that, and she always felt lesser. Right? So then once this woman released that energy in those pictures and wasn't running that, then her sister wasn't pushed away by her, which was all happening unconsciously, right? It's all happening below our awareness. And that's one of the tricky things that's often hard to grasp with the energy work and the spiritual work, is most of what we're working on is happening below our day-to-day consciousness. It's not that we couldn't become aware of it, but usually we have to go into meditation to let it arise, because there's so much noise that is keeping us busy, just managing the world day to day.
So you, as a guide, as a healer, you're sitting with a client and maybe you're helping them recognize, all right, there's this tension, let's say in your solar plexus area of your body. Maybe they, in meditation with you, you know, as you're guiding them, see it as a color, a vibration, maybe then an image or a memory pops up.
Or they just recognize the feeling because they've overrid the feeling. So if we're just sitting together and it's grounded and it's safe, once we address it to where I see it and we start to talk about it, they may just feel it for the first time, really, like as not just them, but as actually something they're doing.
Yeah.
So otherwise the feeling is just, well, this is how I am. This is just me. And then they get out of it. So they see it as a color, or recognize the feeling, or they even recognize the thought of, oh yeah, I'm always trying to be the best. And I have that thought about myself that I'm never good enough. They may recognize that and step out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of layers that happen just, you know, in that maybe 15 minutes that it took to work through that.
Awesome. Yeah. I had a similar one with a student. I think she wouldn't mind me sharing this. We were uncovering some self-worth issues, and a memory had popped up for her in the middle of meditation with us, where she got into Harvard, accepted to Harvard, which is no small thing.
Right.
And I don't think either of us would ever get accepted to Harvard. Yeah. Do you have a wizardry program by any chance?
Yeah.
And so she went and told her mother, and her mother was like, you're not going to Harvard. You know, you can't go to Harvard. You know, just completely invalidated her that she just got accepted to Harvard. And then, you know, there was a trauma around that invalidation from the person you're trying to receive love from the most in your life. And so as we were working on these layers of self-love, memories like that popped up, and the memories almost have like a energetic charge to them, right? Some memories have like a 2 out of 10, and some are an 8, and some are like a red zone Chernobyl. Do not go near. If you even mention this memory, I will stab you, you know, with my eyes, fire in my eyes. And so as healers, teachers, guides, you know, I mean, I've learned this over the years, I'm sure you have too, is you have to approach very cautiously. And there's a certain finesse that you learn over time, of like how much to push the pedal and when to push it and when not to. And it's a bit of a mix of an art and a science of knowing what's appropriate and when it's appropriate. So with this particular student, we got to this deep pain memory, and really she was able to like release it and just popped. And it was really cool to watch her shift and find her own inner validation. I think when it comes to healing, that's what we're all looking for, is like, what are the memories and the balls of pain that I've stuffed into the closet or into the dungeon of my unconscious? And, you know, it's like you've hidden them. Your room looks really clean and neat, but if I start opening all the doors and cabinets and looking under the couch, just shit's coming out of everywhere. Old suppressed pain. And, you know, as they say, nothing gets suppressed successfully forever.
Right.
You know what I this is a pet peeve of mine. It just creeps me out. First of all, like super religious energy or like excessively pious energy. Like I'm a saint. I'm a very loving, kind, always kind, happy person. And for me, I'm like, that's not the reality of the human experience, where we have these dark sides, these shadows. We all have pain.
Right.
So you've just suppressed everything. You only let your light side out. And over time, that's going to turn bad. That milk's right. going to sour. And if we don't really look at that deep, dark stuff and work with it and be okay with it and accept it, it will turn on us. And instead of attacking everyone else, one day it'll start to attack its host. And so yeah. I think when we heal and we integrate, we're no longer like a quote unquote saint. We're just whole as a human being. And then we could function in a more grounded, real way. And I'm much more interested in humans that are approaching life that way than the, oh my God, life is, yeah, always good. I'm always happy. I'm always kind. I'm right. going to heaven. Like, yes. Fuck you.
Sweetness and light. Yes, that's all always sweetness and light. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. No, the human condition spans this much broader spectrum of who we are and our experience. And it's kind of back to that Jungian. You funny that you made use quote from Jung, because the idea of recognizing the shadow and acknowledging that part of ourselves, those darker parts, it's very much he worked with that and brought that to light.
Yeah.
And that I think that our perspective of healing and growth is all about integration and becoming fully yourself. And you can't fully integrate without recognizing and addressing those darker sides of what's happened to us and trauma and the energies that go with that.
Yeah, I think also there's like the pain from experience of this lifetime. There's family mm-hmm. pain. There's collective human pain that for whatever reason, exactly. some of us, you know, carry more than others or certain kinds. There's right. genetic pain. Right, that kind of come through the family line. Maybe there's past life pain, interdimensional pain. Who the hell knows right. how far down the rabbit yeah. hole it goes? And so some pain makes no sense, right?
Right.
Because you're just like, where did it come from? I had a great childhood. And other pain, right. you're like, oh, I know what that mother effer is. That boulder's been sitting there since I was five. And I look at it once in a while. I'm like, not today.
Yeah.
And then I'll manifest a partner that will trigger it every day for the next 40 years because I didn't want to deal with it or whatever, you know, or a boss
or, that's always or fun.
A sibling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, on the bright side of, because you're mentioning all these different pain levels, the healing is that underneath that pain or as we get out of that pain, there is tremendous creativity, information, energy, growth, that is what arises. So very often our pain or our invalidation is relative to our maybe biggest strength or talent. And so oftentimes we might be keyed into something like that more global, let's say, one aspect of the more global pain, because we actually have an answer about that. We're actually here to share something that helps move things forward relative to that. But we have to heal ourselves first to then be that person in the world. I think healing oftentimes, it's not just about getting rid of the thing. It's about who we start to become yeah. without or by overcoming that, let's say. So there's that whole side of healing. There's also this beautiful side of healing that we teach that it's hard to describe until we get someone into the place to see it, because it is where there are energy dynamics that happen that show up in a person's aura, energy field, that just speak to where their energy is being drained or where they're stuck on something in the past. And they'll oftentimes look like cords. They may look like David, dense. You mentioned dents in the aura, but yeah. even like tears. They might look like just the energy field being shifted out of balance or the chakras themselves being frozen or cracked. So there's some very mechanical almost ways of seeing how the energy moves, knowing a bit about how it should function in a healthy setting. Everybody's a little bit unique, but there's just the general idea of how it should function. Once you know that, then where it's not flowing correctly or where there's a cord, you'll see that. And we have techniques for how to remove those things or move energy in a way that's very directly you're engaged in being the healer or doing it.
Yeah. couple of things. One, earlier, you reminded me of a quote that Glennon Doyle has, the author, find what breaks your heart and you'll find your purpose.
Right.
And, you know, I recently taught a summit with the Shift Network. Let me say that correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I know.
The Shift Network.
That's a tough one.
Yeah. There are some shit networks out there I've watched on TV.
With the Shift Network. I almost spit my water out. I was taking a drink there.
And it was called the Empaths, Sensitives, and Intuitives Summit. And I couldn't believe how many people out there really identify with being an empath and being a healer. And so, yeah, if you're someone who attracts pain to yourself, people in pain, and you absorb that pain, then you're probably right. An empath and or a healer of some kind. And I think
that's the thing we have to recognize is that when you say that, in healing, it's sometimes what we're healing is actually uncovering where you got covered over with energy because you're sensitive to energy, because you're a healer that absorbs energy. So it's not even your energy that is in your field or in your body that's causing you pain. It's something you brought in from the world. And that's a hard concept sometimes to grasp until you start to see it or feel it, get in a setting where it's pointed out and you recognize that feeling of, oh, this thing I'm carrying that's causing me anxiety isn't even mine. Mm-hmm. I'm carrying someone else's energy.
Yeah. We could carry
that's their, a difficult and, concept.
Yeah, we can carry it emotionally in the feeling space. I think we could also carry a lot of thoughts from society, mm-hmm. a lot of beliefs, expectations. So some people it weighs on their body emotionally, some people it weighs on their heads. We're all, mm-hmm. you know, we all have a different kind of sensitivity disposition, I would say, some of us equally, maybe both. So it's good to find out what your dispositions are and then also what doors you have open. So I think no one's ever explained this better than Eckhart Tolle when he describes the pain body as just an energy field of some kind of negativity that feeds on more pain. The pain body, ball of pain, whatever you want to call it, inside of us, it could be dormant or it could be active. It could get triggered, and pain feeds on pain. So it may look for other people. It may manifest relationships or attract towards other people with pain, so it could feed on more of it. Maybe it feeds on drama, so you keep perpetuating mm-hmm. this drama. I remember I, many years ago, was in a relationship, and the person said to me, I need drama and conflict in the relationship. It helps me feel like the relationship is real if there's conflict, because that's how my parents functioned growing up. And I remember thinking, oh, no.
Yeah,
I'm not wanting to do it that way. I don't want my relationship based on drama and conflict where the pain body could just kind of feed and grow.
Right.
We all have little ones and big ones. In Buddhism, in Vipassana, when I used to go on those retreats, they would break down the pain bodies into three forms. One was like you run your finger through the water and then it disappears very quickly. Like, you know, it's just around for a few minutes or a day. And the other would be like drawing a line in the sand, and then maybe it sticks around for the day or a few days or weeks. And then the third would be like etching it into rock. Like a few of those real big ones, maybe we're born with them or we have some major trauma in this lifetime. So recognizing which level of pain it is and how much attention it needs is really important. And I don't think we mentioned this yet, but March 2022, we're going to be doing a new intuitive training program that's a year long, and we do a lot of this healing work in that training, and we also have specific healing trainings for people who are super interested in that side of things. So if you're listening and you're like, well, how do I get deeper into this and start to master it, we do have a path for you, and we have like 10 amazing teachers that teach a lot of these courses with us. And you can get all these different perspectives, not just a couple of white dudes who are telling you what's up.
We do have a whole team of teachers right now that are really excited to have everybody teach this next course. And as we get through the first level past March, to have this emphasis where we can go deep into healing, deep into seeing. I think one of the things, there's so many different forms of healing out there and so many people in the healing arts at varying levels, that over the years, I've seen so many people come through who've been, you know, having a practice of healing at some level for years. There's two things they're always looking for when they come into the type of training that we offer, it seems like. And one is a very clear sense of how to define their own energy space and create better boundaries and almost protect themselves as a healer, because they're recognizing that one of the issues that we as healers have is we tend to overgive, and it's because that's who we are. And so finding that healthy boundary for ourselves so that we can, you know, maintain our own health as a healer. So kind of healer, heal thyself type thing. And then the other one is that oftentimes our healing has been guided, not that it's a bad way to guide it, but guided in a very intuitive way. And we start to teach people how to really see energy. So you start to be able to take it to the next level when you can see what's going on and what you're doing and direct it from seeing, not just from kind of a intuitive or even gut feeling.
Yeah, like
those work too.
But like, for example, a massage therapist who touches someone gets a feeling and then goes, let me try to interpret this without maybe enough structure and training to really understand how to work with that energy. It's like there's initial gut intuitive reaction and awareness, but then there's a lot more steps actually that go with that. That
we can go deeper. Learn. Yeah.
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 And I think that's probably the gold that we offer the most out of these kinds of trainings is like, you probably have some intuitive awareness already, some gut level feeling, but you need structure around that. You need a foundation and to be able to do it in a safe way. And also, let me, before we finish this episode, mention that not all pain is meant to be healed right now. Like part of being a great healer is to know when to leave things alone and to give people the space to do their own work at their own pace, rather than go, oh, I can get that pain out of you, and you tear it out and then they have to learn the lesson all over again.
Yeah.
So a lot of being a healer is actually learning how and when not to heal. I would say that's more of the case, more of the time, than actually doing any healing at all for those of you who are sensitive healers.
That's the harder part to learn oftentimes, that lesson.
Yeah.
Because we just want to, we want to make it better. We want to heal everything.
Absolutely. I want to heal the shit out of every person in pain on this planet, and I will not stop till I'm done, or a piece of burnt toast laying on the floor. Too much pain.
Right.
You know, from a wider perspective, many of these beings came to Earth with this pain to work on it. Some of them came to create pain.
Right.
Because that's the cycle they're in. Some people are here to hurt others, and some people are here to help and heal. You have to just recognize that and help the ones who are ready and willing and work on yourself. And hopefully we could tip the scale so there won't be an apocalypse. But if there is so much pain that's not being dealt with and people are not willing to deal with it, then it's just like in an individual's life, they get hit with a major trauma, right? Maybe a cancer diagnosis or a death or a breakup or a job loss. You know, like it's like, not that that only happens when you're not dealing with pain, but sometimes when you're not dealing with pain, you're not really working it. Life will hit you harder until you wake up. It gives you lighter wax until you're like, and if you don't listen, they get
it gets
harder.
Louder and louder.
Louder and louder. So on a collective scale, if there is a massive amount of pain, like a pandemic would be a collective pain body that's passing through the system of humanity. If we don't deal with that in a healthy way, maybe there can be apocalypses or mini apocalypses to shake us as a species. And, you know, there's a lot of pain that's born out of COVID, like isolation, lack of compassion. I always hear people saying, well, COVID only hurts or kills people who are obese or who have pre-existing conditions. And I'm like, hey, dick, some people are obese or have pre-existing conditions. And it would be great if we could protect them also, or at least have compassion. Yeah. Like it's a very cold approach, right? Or old people. It just affects old people. Who cares about boomers?
People.
Like Cody. Like who cares?
Old people. Yeah.
I'm just messing.
I'm not a boomer. Right? So I have to say that though. But yeah, no, I mean, that is a very interesting thing that I've noticed as well. Like, oh, well, it only affects old people. Well, it's like, well,
I love my grandparents.
People, they're still feeling and very, you know, important people.
We're not going to get into the intricacies of COVID for sure, but just on the energetic side of some of the things, some of the lessons that it's bringing up around compassion,
right,
around isolation, around fear, right? There's a lot of collective pain bodies that it's triggering, I would say. So,
yeah. Yeah. And I think we don't have to get into the specifics of, I mean, COVID is a good example of everybody going through something, right? That we all, as a larger body of humanity, have to go through. But our perspective, when you get into the perspective, say, of healing or of intuitive or energy awareness, one aspect of it is recognizing the lessons and growth that you have to go through in meeting the world or in living your life. So anything that happens becomes something that you are relating to in terms of either looking back at yourself and what do I have to learn from this, or looking forward and saying, what do I have to give to this and bring to this? Yeah. So whether it's global at a pandemic level or an individual sitting in front of me, that's the question is, one, where am I relative to it? Can I heal myself? And then what do I have to give, say, to this person? What is it that I can contribute from a healing perspective? And the idea that, well, they're just old people and it only kills old people is not a healing picture. That would be the opposite of a healing picture.
To me, that's somebody who's kind of detached and just in their head, living in their heads. Yeah.
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 Some kind of logic, or they think it's logic without any feeling or real compassion, you know. So get out there, heal yourself, and then see if you can help heal others. If you want to come sit for some healing training, or just get on our newsletter list, we'll send out some updates once in a while. Yeah. It's energymattersacademy.com. And we love you guys and gals and everyone. Thank you so much for listening to me and Cody. You want to send us a 2 or 3 page email about the pain body you're in and who you want to blame for it, you could do that. We won't respond, but happy to receive them. I think what would be better is if you sit down and meditate and be honest with whatever pain that you feel. Stop blaming others and learn the tools you need to learn to work it, and come out the other side and be a healing force on this planet and make a difference. So that's what I think we're trying to do with this podcast and everything we teach. You know, so that when I die, I can go to heaven and be like, see you later, peace out, good karma over here. And then someone's like, oh, this isn't heaven. It's a waiting room. You're going back. You have to go back. You messed up. I'm like, oh, okay.
But it's a really nice waiting room. Can I
be born somewhere warm
for a long time? Oh, boy, there you go. Oh, goodness. Yes. Well, thank you, David. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in here. And we are excited to come into this new year and start our next level of training and share this information with y'all. So thanks for being here.
Remember, the apocalypse is not inevitable. So do the work. See you next time.
Bye, everybody.